Good evening, class. Well, I hope you all did well on your test, but we're about to start another class today on delegate authorities or to sanctify God. I don't know exactly where it is in your book. You're going to have to look for it through your index, but I'm going right down the line. I found it easier for me to be able to get the thoughts across when I go right down the line in the book. Then you can follow me better, and then you'll be able to comprehend a little bit better what Brother Nee is saying concerning these subjects on authority and how authority ought to sanctify God. And we're going to find out just what that statement means, authority ought to sanctify God. There has to be a separation, and we're going to learn about this separation in a few moments as we go down this line. This is a very simple, but very powerful subject today. And I went over it. It's not my first time teaching this particular class, but every time I teach it, I see new nuggets. I get new insight. And I hope you get the insight that I'm trying to bring across to the class today. So beginning in this particular segment of the chapter, we're still coming out in Numbers 20. If you turn your Bible to number 20, we can follow along in the scriptures. But I'm going down the line here in the booklet, and you're going to refer to the scriptures, beginning at Numbers 20, verses 1 through 7, basically that the scriptures we're going to be using. So it said, after over 30 years, I'm reading right out of Brother Nee's book, the textbook. After over 30 years of wandering in the wilderness, the people of Israel again forgot the lessons they had learned through their rebellion. Now, you know what, think sometime, and I got to thinking about this. A lot transpired during the time that they were in the wilderness with Moses, the children of Israel, and there were a lot of lessons that God gave the children concerning submitting to authority. And you would have think at this particular time, they would have understood the principle that God was bringing forth to them, but how to submit to the man that Moses, that God had put to lead them out of Israel to the promised land. But they forgot. They forgot the thing they learned. And that's no different from we today. And that's the thought I want to bring up. After many years of serving God, many years of being under pastoralship, you would think we've learned how to submit to authority by now. But still, there's still a lot of rebellious thoughts and ideas, and still confronting spiritual leaders. And they got to go through the traffic, like Apostle talked about. They got to go through all the traffic of the people's thoughts and their feelings and their emotions and their own selfishness and inability not to want to follow properly. But when it came, I'm back to the next statement, but when it came to the wilderness of Zin and found no water, they once again contended with Moses and Aaron, uttering many unpleasant words. There they were again. Daddy, same old, and you would have thought they would have learned by now. And they saw the miracles God did with the manna and the bread, and they never went for food. God always supplied their needs. God always took care of them from one incident to another. They never lacked anything in the wilderness. Their clothes never wore out. They always had food. God always provided for them. But yet, this particular time, they came in this wilderness again, and they began to complain because there was not any water. See it? But nevertheless, God nevertheless was not angry with them. He merely commanded to take the rod. He merely commanded to take the rod and speak to the rock that it might give water. And you got to understand, God not going to always think like we think when it comes to authority. God not going to always do things the way we normally think he's going to do. You can't put God in a routine box. You never know God's MO. You never know God's thoughts all the time about situations and subjects. And that's why the scriptures say in Isaiah, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways. Not that we can't find out his thoughts and find his ways, but you can't just put him in a box, think this is the way God's going to function all the time. Moses knew the last time they rebelled over in Numbers, I think dealing with Korah and environment, Dathan, how they over. He tried to overthrow Moses' authority in the wilderness. During those particular period of time, you would thought they would have learned, and Moses knew how God handled the people and how God sided with him when the people rebelled, and how God did a lot of things, and you know, even on the mountain, when God had made the tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments, and Moses got angry. And Moses threw the stones down that God had made with his own hand and broke the stones in pieces. That was the commandment he was going to bring down to the people. But yet God still sided with him because Moses' anger was God's anger. What am I saying? God was just as displeased as Moses was. So God, Moses really sided with God. Not that God sided with Moses. You see it? You see it? Moses' reaction was God's reaction. And this is the point we're going to bring out in this class. Make sure, as an authority, you react the way God reacts, and don't expect God to react to your feelings and your emotions. You're not going to change God's mind when it comes to things. So at this particular time here, class, God was not angry. You would have thought he would have been angry, but that wasn't his mind. His mind was to show his mercy and his grace and his loving and his caring side toward these children, saying, I know you're tall. I know what you're going through. I feel what you're going through, and I just know you've been going through this for a while now. And so God, if I can use the word, sympathized with the people feeling. But Moses was sympathetic at this particular time because, you know, he felt to believe that they should have known better by now. And just like some of us, you know, even with your children, when they act up, you should have known better. Yeah, they should have known better, but they didn't do better at that particular time. So sometimes we just gotta love them right through it. And so the point is that Moses did not represent God the way God wanted to be represented. I know I'm going to hear the lesson, but I'm trying to prelude it so you can understand as we go this, as we go through these points, that you'll see that don't think God's going to side with you or the way you feel is the way God feel all the time. And so listen to this. Moses took the rod, which was the symbol of God's authority, in his hand, and let me stop right here. The rod that God gave Moses symbolized not Moses' authority, it symbolized God's authority. So whenever God told Moses to stretch forth the rod, it was God's authority in operation and not Moses' authority. See, you got to be able to separate the rod and let you know that the rod, just because it's in your hand, that's not your authority. You just following orders and stretching forth the rod because God says stretch forth 40. And so you have to understand God's authority cannot be mixed with human. You can't take God's authority. You only obey God's authority. As Brother Nee said many times, and I repeated many times, you have no authority. The only authority a leader had is that which God delegated unto him. And so you have to be mindful that you don't think you too have authority, because you don't. You're only a delegation of God's authority, and you're only following through with orders that God give you to carry out to get his plan done in the earth. So I say a lot just to get the point across. But Moses took the rod, a symbol of God's authority, in his hand. However, he was so provoked by the anger that he called the people rebels, and then ignoring God's command, he smoked the rock twice with the rod. He smoked the rock twice with the rod. Totally disregard God's instruction. And he carried his anger all the way through and did not see that wasn't God's reaction to the whole matter. I want to say something, but we're going to get better understanding as we go on. He erred. Next statement said, he erred. Moses erred, yet water still flowed out of the rock. Why? What? God's will always going to be done. Despite your erroneous ways, God's going to get his will done in the earth realm. Oh, listen to this class, with or without you. You see it? With or without you. Your actions will never stop God's will from being done upon the earth. He may correct your actions, but you're not going to stop his will. He'll do it with you, oh my goodness, or God will do his will without you. I prefer learning my lesson. I prefer submitting to God. I prefer, after understanding what God wants to do, to understand and to follow through just the way he wants to. So here's a good point. You don't make no action or don't perform any action until you're sure that the action God wants to perform. And that's what's happening in this segment of lesson here. Make sure that all your action, whether it's corrective action, is disciplined within the church, that is according to God's will. Because then you'll be demonstrating your authority, and God had nothing to do with it. Then God got to deal with you because you misrepresenting his authority. Now, let's go on. Now, he represented. Because of this, God reprimanded his servant Moses, saying, you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the people of Israel. Well, let's go a step further, Claire. Let's back up a little bit. What I want to do, I want to read those scriptures. So turn your Bible with me. I don't ever want to go through a lesson without going through the scriptures first and let you know exactly what happened through the word of God. Now, if you turn your Bible with me, we're going to Numbers 20. Go to Numbers 20, begin at verse 1. Numbers 20 in 1. Hear what it said. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation to the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. and was buried there. Now, I wanted to bring a point. I'm glad I came here. It's good to follow the Holy Ghost. Miriam was Moses' elder sister. And you remember what happened in the 12th chapter of Numbers when Miriam spake against Moses about this Ethiopian woman. And so it's Miriam error in disrespecting Moses' authority and didn't know when she spoke against Moses, it was just like speaking against God. But it said, with everything that Miriam may have done in her past life, this is how her life ended with God. 1, 2, 3. I'm counting the words here. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What am I doing? I'm showing you how Miriam ended with 5, 6, 7, or 7 words. It says, and Miriam died there and was buried there. End of the story. Wasn't where the people wept, the people mourned for 30 days, or as some of the great men of God happened to the men of God. So I'm not saying that God didn't give respect to Miriam as a person, but the Bible didn't say a whole lot about Miriam after this. She died and she was buried there. So my point of saying that is how do you want to be remembered as a servant of God? Do you want to be remembered from your rebellious acts and your disobedience? Or you want to be remembered as someone like Joshua and Caleb? They fully obeyed God. And I go on and on. Abraham fully obeyed God. David fully obeyed God in everything. I go on and on and on. Some of the great prophets and men and women through the Old and the New Testament, how they talk about them. You know, Paul talked about some of those people that had passed on. But my point is that they didn't say a whole lot about Miriam. Second verse, and there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They sure did. And the people chode with Moses. They strove with Moses. They challenged Moses. They argued with Moses. And spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brothers died before the Lord? They were talking about with Korah and Abiram and Dathan when all were the grounds. See, we'd been better off. We would have died when they died. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? Now, there was no kind word. It is no place of seed or of figs, of vine, or of pomegranate. Neither is there any water to drink. You see it? They spoke harsh against Moses, but for some reason, God did not get angry. Moses got angry because he, in his humanistic strength, he was almost to his wit's end with these people. He was almost to the, you know, you get to play with say, enough is enough. You know, I think Moses was there and he just got to a place where he just got to him. It vexed his righteous soul. But God felt different about it. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And here was the Lord saying, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, this is Moses' instruction, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before the eyes, and it shall give forth this water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation their beasts, the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, God want to bless you today. God want to show his glory to you. And God want to sanctify himself before you. No, that's not what God said. That was not what Moses said. And Moses and Aaron, hear what he said. Hear now. He said, hear now, you rebels. He called the people rebels. In other words, you rebellious ones. Must we, him and Aaron, it's no longer God doing it now. It's no longer God's authority that blessing the people. Now Moses had put himself in God's place here. Moses is now, listen to me, thinking for God. He's speaking on God's behalf because authority always represents God. And when the people heard Moses, they heard God. And the point is, Moses misrepresented God. Moses did not reflect God's feeling about this whole matter. He did not get God's feeling. He carried his emotion and feeling into God's place. I'm trying to get it in my own understanding where you can get it. In other words, he didn't represent God properly. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? You know, there's a question mark there. You see it? You can put a lot of other thoughts with that. A lot of emotions was coming forth with this. A lot of reaction was coming from Moses. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And Moses did God a big favor. No. He showed for himself. God, mercy and grace, allow the people to drink in spite of what Moses did. Because God's will is always going to be done with or without you. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore you shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. Now, let's go back to the lesson class. I want to read to make sure you see the scripture point of view. Because as we read in the book, Brother Nee is expounding directly out of the scripture, verse by verse. But at the same time, he's generalizing a lot of things so you can see it. And it helps to understand exactly what's happening here. So Moses error. But yet water still flowed out of the rock. Because of this, God reprimanded his servant, saying, you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the people of Israel. So you see what's going on, Claire? It meant that Moses had not set God apart from himself and Aaron. Boy, that's a good statement. It meant that Moses had not set himself apart from himself and Aaron, had not set God apart from himself and Aaron. What do you mean, have not set God apart from himself? You see, as an authority, when you represent God's authority, when you speak, it's just like God speaking. So when Moses said that, "You rebels, shall we make water come out of this rock for you?" and struck the rock, the rock twice. Well, they saw God reacting. They saw God anger. They saw God displeasure toward them, and that's not what God was representing, wanted to represent before the people at all. But if it was Moses' reaction, what Brother Nee is saying that he should have separated and said, "Look, that's not God saying this. This is me. This is my emotion. This is my reaction." But God is so merciful and gracious. You got to separate yourself, letting people know that's not God, that's me. And he didn't do that. Let's keep reading. You're going to see. You're going to see. You're going to see. It meant that Moses had not set God apart from himself and Aaron. He had misrepresented God, but it was himself that he had a wrong spirit and had thus spoken wrongly and smote wrongly. See, it was himself. He functioned out of a wrong spirit instead out of God's spirit. It was his own personal feelings that the people saw, but what they saw is as God's feeling toward them. You see it? God seemingly remonstrated. I had to look up this word. I had an idea what it meant. But remonstrated, if I'm pronouncing it right, is almost like demonstrate. It's remonstrated. It means to express himself with intensive force. You see, God expressed himself with intensive force with Moses on this wise. This is what he said. "I saw my people thirsty and was willing to give them to drink. So why did you scold them?" And in essence, that's what God was saying. That's not what the scriptures say, but you got to put yourself in this place to see what God was saying through Revelation when it comes to God correcting Moses and Aaron. He said, "I saw my people." Whose people? And you got to remember, you see, sometimes you stick with the people, it's over 30 years. And sometimes you almost, when you're doing something for so long, you almost tend to want to take ownership. You almost think it's your people. You almost think it's your job to tell them and stop them and correct them and to handle them the way you want to handle them. But no, God said, it's my people. It's always God's people. My people. I saw my people thirsty and were willing to give them to drink. So why did you scold them? God did not reprove the people, but Moses did. You see it? And God's intention was not to correct me this time. God said, let's give them drink. It's not a time. It's not a time to correct them. I understand their feelings and I know their trials and I know they're going through some things, but I'm testing them. And so God had mercy and grace upon them. Thank God that God don't always treat us like men would treat us. Thank God that men's reaction is not always God's reaction. Thank God that we sometimes not God. Sometimes our judgment is so misguided sometimes. It's not the way God feels about things sometimes. You know, even when we're dealing with people, we sometimes so harsh, so unforgiving, and so we don't show the love that we should show. I mean, we just deal with things, but God is so merciful. God is so gracious. God is so forgiving. And sometimes we misrepresent him in our personal life, dealing with people, dealing with our children. Sometimes we just need to show more grace, more mercy. See how God wants to handle situations before we step in and overstep our boundaries and say, God, how you want to handle this? And you might find out your ways were not God's ways at all. You may find out that you were handling the situation opposite from what God was thinking. You want to give two life sentences to your children, and God said, no, just love them, have mercy upon them. And see, so you got to find God's feeling. You got to find God's emotion. You got to find God's thoughts and wills before we deal with things. And this is an important lesson, class, for your personal life, in your family, your home, if you're in leadership position in your church, if your pastor have you committed some authority to do certain things over certain departments. You can't handle these people like you want to handle them. You might be over the choir. You might be over the security world. You might be over the ushers. And you misrepresent your spiritual leader sometimes, and you misrepresent God. So that's why when I was in leadership position within the church, I always find out how apostle want to handle it. I always would go to him and say, such and such is going on. How you want to handle it, sir? I don't want to misrepresent his authority. I don't want the people to see me, I wouldn't be apostle of feeling toward the situation at all. No, I'm here to help. We're here to help, not to hinder, and not to hinder God's work. Amen. Hope you get that little point across to you, because it's so important. We don't want to function with the wrong spirit, and we don't want to give the wrong impression of God to the people. And so Moses gave the people of God, of Israel, a wrong impression about God, as though God was fierce and reviling, and lacking in grace. That's not God at all. God is never lacking in grace. You see it? But as a time for judgment. And God always directs his judgment. And you always know. One thing I learned about the apostle. Oh, God, thank God for a true man of God. I've seen him deal with some things over the years. Over the years I've been with him. And I saw him, how he responded. He never made correction on the spot. You would think sometime that he ignored the situation. But I found out that he's trying to find out, God, how you want to deal with it. He didn't come off with just the top of his head with some way to deal with something. He always found what God want to do, dealing with God's people, because he always recognized that these are God's people. And so he always found the wisdom to deal with situation. And sometimes it would go against what I would be thinking. I said, God, I said, my goodness. I said, I don't know if that's the way. Sometimes he was so full of grace and mercy. And I thought he would have corrected more differently. But he corrected the way God wanted to correct it, not the way I thought he would have corrected it. My goodness. And so exactly what happened in here, he always had the wisdom to get with God and find out what God wanted to do first. He always told me, he said, Ronald, there's no emergencies in the spirit. In other words, always take time to find out what God's plans and what God's will is concerning the situation. Don't make no sudden move. You see, and I understand that. I mean, you grow, you learn, you read, you study, you pray, and you watch, you listen, and you learn. But I'm not talking about just a man, but he's so accurate when it comes to dealing with spiritual things, because he always spends so much time with God that he find out what God wants to do. I hope I'm getting the point across. To be an authority is to represent God, whether it be in wrath or mercy. See, God might tell you to handle it with anger. God might, God have, God just might direct you to, I tell you what, I've seen him handle some situations forcefully, and I've seen him handle some situations mercifully. And I come to understanding, I said, God must be upset with this thing because my apostle is upset. God must be grieved about something because my apostle is grieved. I learned that through the scriptures. I learned it through 1 Samuel when Saul messed up. And the Bible says Saul was grieved over Samuel and he wept. He wept for a long time. God had to find out, ask him, how long are you going to weep for? How long are you going to weep for Saul, Samuel? He said, you didn't reject him as king. I did. But because of his grieving, I said, well, Samuel grieving, God must be grieving. Because Samuel responded according to God's emotion, to God's feeling. I tell you what, God, it's amazing when you listen to God's spirit, how you begin to respond just like God responds. And that's the whole point about divine leadership and divine authority. Most ministers don't even know this. They never learn to separate themselves from God when it comes to dealing with things. You see it? To be an authority to represent God, whether it be in rap or mercy or authority, must always be like God. You see, that's what I'm trying to say. Authority must always be like God. Have the same feeling toward what God does. Find out how God wants to do something. Get God's emotions on it. Get God's feeling toward it. If God wants to correct it wrathfully, one time he told Moses, separate yourself from these people. And Moses responded just like God responded. You see it? And so, Moses said, I've never done anything that God didn't tell me to do. But there's just one time he messed up. One time out of 40 years. I don't know how many people got a record like that. But yet God corrected him. God corrected him by not permitting him to go into the promise. He let him see it, but he didn't let him go there. So it's a very serious matter. Matter of fact, the next lesson going to be, class, is how serious a matter to be an authority. Now, I got a couple of minutes left. Let me get maybe two more points in. To be an authority is to represent God, whether in wrath or mercy. An authority must always be like God. If in such a position we do anything wrong, we should acknowledge it as our own doing. We are never to draw God into our own fault. Because Moses misrepresented God, he had to be judged. You understand that point? If anyone in authority misrepresents God and does not confess it, God will have to vindicate himself. And that's what God did before the people. Thus, he showed the people of Israel that this was Moses doing and not his. You see? See what I'm saying, Claire? True, the people had murmured, and perhaps their attitude had been rebellious. Nevertheless, God had not judged them. How could Moses be so impatient as to judge them before God did, and to speak angrily without restraint and misrepresent God? It was his attitude and his wrath, but most likely the people of Israel got the impression that it was God's attitude and God's wrath. Hence, God had to acquit himself by separating himself from Moses and Aaron. So, whenever authority misrepresents God, before God got to judge you, separate yourself from the people. Say, look, that was God. That wasn't God. That was me. That was my action. Then God's going to deal with you likewise. Because as long as you separate yourself from God, and so the people know that was your motion, your response, I missed it. That's not the way God wanted to handle that. That was me. God, you be able to deal with it, and God won't have to judge you like he did Moses. Let us be careful. Let me say this, then I'm finished. Let us be careful that we never draw God into human failure by giving the wrong impression that he is expressing his attitude through us. You've been in good class, and I'll see you next week.